We were in Luke 7, verse 35. But wisdom is justified of her children. We're going to, as I said yesterday, we're going to spend some time on wisdom. So let's go to first to Job 11. Everybody there? Is anybody there?
I am.
Mr. and Mrs. Bojo are there. Are you there yet, Mr. Buckner?
Oh, I've been there.
You've been there?
Yeah. Been there.
Verse 5. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. They are double. Wisdom is double to that which is. It's a word that means, double means like it's folded or hidden. And it's everything is more than it seems. And nothing is to be ranked.
Can you read number 4?
Yeah, for thou hast said, my doctrine is pure and I am clean in thine eyes.
Yeah,
that's what the Pharisee says.
Yeah.
Everything is more than it seems, not only in itself, but in its relationship to everything else. We used to talk a lot about man builds something or invents, thinks he invents something, and it does one thing. And sometimes, every once in a while, it does two or three things. But God has water, and it does a jillion things. And sunlight does a jillion things. I mean, so, and everything is interrelated. Now, I want to... Everything is external. Everything we can see is external and natural, and yet wisdom says that everything is mysterious and hidden. Because it's hidden because of our, as a result of the fall, everything that we do from the moment of our self-awareness is self-redemption, and that redemption of self is analogous to the silver nitrate in the back of a glass. And so everything that happens in your life, until hopefully you see your death, it's what does this mean to me? How can I use this? What's the effect of this to me? And so everything has the I motive, and that's the only thing you see. What? You're doing something.
Yeah, I'm totally absorbed.
All right.
What you said about looking at or seeing at versus seeing through or looking through. Is that true?
Yeah. Thank you. The scriptures everywhere and always recognize this. And so that's why Jesus said that everything is in parables. All things are in parables, that seeing they may see and not understand, and hearing they may hear and not hear. Now, if they're patterns or symbols or allegories, they're all those things. Now, I want to read something. This is from the Zohar. I read this a long time ago and told about it. But. Woe unto those who see in the writings, nothing but simple narrative and ordinary words. Were this the case, then could we even today compose a Torah equally worthy of admiration. But it is quite otherwise. Every word of the Torah contains an elevated sense and sublime mystery, the narratives of the Torah are but the raiment in which that which is it reveals is swathed. Woe unto him who mistakes the raiment for the Torah itself. For this reason, David prayed, "Open mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law." Now, let's go to Psalm 119. I want you to see that all this stuff is really in the Bible.
Did you say 119?
119. This is the one that, the only thing that Mr. Rutledge has to do before he dies is put 119 into a song.
Well, I'm putting it off.
You're putting it off?
Saving yourself.
I didn't write down which verse it was.
It's
16
long,
minutes.
It's a
half.
Long book to look through.
It's the longest book.
71 is good.
Open thou mine eyes. Where are you? And I will show thee wondrous things out of my law.
18. Psalm 119.
Oh, it's right there. This is Gimel. Each section of Psalm 119 has eight verses, and there are eight verses for each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So Aleph has eight verses, that's Psalm 119, 1 to 8. Then Beth has eight verses, Psalm 9 to 116. And Gimel is the next, and that's where we are. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let's look and see what Jesus said about all this. Let's go to Matthew 4. Remember, we're studying wisdom. So somebody doesn't say in a couple minutes, why are we studying this?
Well, is wisdom seeing things through the eyes of Christ?
I'm going to give you my definition of wisdom. If I can find it. It's the art of reaching one's end by the use of the right means. Anyway. Mark 4.
That was Matthew 4.
Mark 4. Did I say?
Well, you said Matthew, so that's why we're all there.
Okay, Mark 4. What?
Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God.
He's the wisdom of God, the sanctification of God, the peace of God. He is all things.
Yeah, so the very person of Christ is the wisdom.
But it's wisdom as a feminine. It's a feminine noun.
Kingdom of God, there's no gender.
Except in the bride. The bride is the wisdom of God, made up of Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
All right, this is the parable of the sower that went out to sow, and some fell on stony ground and all that. You can read that later from verse 3 to 9, and then eight. And then he said unto them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, they asked him about him with the 12. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things," except these isn't in the text, "all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive. Hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. So the parable that Christ said was the most, if you know this parable, you'll understand all parables. If you don't know that parable, you'll understand nothing. So, and again, we might as well read it. I was planning not to do it. Verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, if you know that parable, you know all things. So, what wisdom is seeing and perceiving what you see. It's hearing and understanding what you hear in order that your sin, in order that you can be forgiven and that your sins be forgiven. So it's hearing, it's seeing that they may see, hearing that they may understand in order that they should be converted and their sins be forgiven. That's really the definition of wisdom. Hearing they may hear and understand, seeing they may see and perceive. Okay?
That word perceive takes me back to getting baptized, where you can't hear or perceive without
getting
your death.
Seeing what baptism is. Otherwise, you just got wet.
Yeah.
Almost like taking communion, unless you know it, when you eat the bread, you are testifying of your death. And his resurrection. When they drink the wine, you're testifying again that you have no worth. You are dead, but his worth, his blood is the only worth. And so otherwise you're just taking a sip of grape juice and eating a cracker. And that should extend to every time you eat. It's that whatever solid food you're eating, you're partaking of the flesh of the Son of God, and you're testifying of your death. Whatever liquid you drink, you're testifying of your death, and your only worth is Him. So you have stopped self-redemption, which caused you to be blinded anyway. But every time you eat oatmeal, you testify of your death and his sustenance. He is your only sustenance and satisfaction. All right, let's go ahead and read the understanding. He said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they that by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And Satan doesn't come as a guy in a red suit with horns. It's your mind, because you try to use it for something. Like, I'm second. I hate that sign. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, and who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of the other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Amen? Everybody understand that part of it?
Yeah, that's neat that it's the reverse of what he's saying, you know, earlier there were, you know, lest they should, this should happen. That's, you know, hidden in that is the actual positive version of that is what wisdom is.
Amen. You've got the ears must be circumcised in order that you can hear. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. What you touch, you have dominion over. Anyway, now let's go to a few scriptures. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You just went to one of the scriptures that we're going to read. Anybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, it's interesting to me that anyway, I won't go there. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God revealeth them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not that the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's go to 1 John 4.
That part about the foolishness of man, unable to perceive the things of God. It's just a big circle of understanding of how can the natural man perceive the things, because all he can perceive is what benefits himself, and everything else is foolishness.
Well, again, remember, everything about this mystery, the things that are, they're the opposite of what the world seeks. And so when that's the mistake that evangelism makes. They try to entice with man's wisdom, i.e. what man wants. And that's why the only true evangelism is really rebuking, the three of rebuke. Remember?
Three of rebuff.
All right. First John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now remember, a spirit is something without a body. So every one of your thoughts is a spirit. Understand? The words that I'm speaking are without a body. So the words are spirit. Every thought you think is spirit. Every word you hear is spirit. But believe not every spirit. Amen?
Well, say that again.
Believe not every spirit.
Okay. Words are spirits.
Right. They're not. All that spirit means is they're without a body. That's what this is talking about.
But they're coming from some spirit. Everything is.
Right.
So it's like, it's either the spirit or it's a false spirit.
That's why. I mean, that's.
But it's not like a Rosicrucian. It's a false
hear,
wings.
I can hear what John's saying. It was like apples and oranges when you're talking about words being spirits. Coming from spirits. Okay. They come from a place. They have an origin. Okay. I can do that.
All right. Beloved, but the point is, beloved, believe not every spirit.
Spirits of light, spirits of darkness.
Well, that's what it says. Believe not every spirit. Now, how do you know what spirit to believe? How do you know what words to believe? And now it tells us. Believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So what does it mean? What does the spirit mean? What? The only words that can testify that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh have to wrap around something. Everything is finished. It's impossible for you to have a need. You've been perfected by one offering. Wherever you look, you see the perfection of His holiness. Wherever you look, you see every knee bowing and every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wherever you look, you see, as Paul saw, the New Jerusalem is your only reality. It's your place of birth. And so every word that you give any importance to, whether it's from your mind or from anybody, your words that you speak or anybody else's words or what you read, if it doesn't testify that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh and with all those manifestations, then it's not of God.
This is why prophecy is important. Without prophesying, you never even hear what you're about. Just live in darkness.
You just live in your own little video game.
Yeah. Afraid to be corrected.
But that's not the part we're studying.
What's the tie between Rhema here?
What?
Rhema?
Rhema?
Yeah, that's. Is that the word?
the word made flesh.
Made flesh. Same as, so that's the true word, which we're talking about.
Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word, the rhema of God. You could, I mean, you've all experienced it. You could hear somebody read the same words, but if it hadn't been worked out in them, it has no, it's just words. It's really important.
It is. That's why Paul stayed shut up for 18 years.
Well, he said, I'm determined to speak of nothing until it's been wrought in me by Christ Jesus.
Kind of adding on to what Gary said, what I think he said was it's also kind of like a hamster on the wheel. If you haven't died to self,
well, it's just
wrong.
It's just wrong. But, what it, I mean, this all says the same thing we've been saying. If you're speaking, speak from the oracle of God. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. It's all the same thing. In a thousand different ways. But you have to go to war with this thing. Oh, you're going to be planning revenge? You just left the mercy seat. You allow yourself to be offended by something and fallen from the strong city. What are you doing, Gary? You're really doing it. Your gears are winding.
I'm in the swimming pool.
You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Declarative sentence. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. What does it mean to speak of the world? Huh?
The Nicolaitans?
No.
Speak of
the world. They are of God. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world.
Yeah.
Well, because all it can do is tell you what God is going to do to improve your life, or even from everybody's standpoint. You only speak of the things which natural man know of. All right, this is the most arrogant statement in the Bible, in my opinion, the next verse. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Remember when we first started a long time ago? Everybody started, well, this is what I think that verse means. And this is what I think that verse means. And this is what this pastor told me that verse meant. There is no private interpretation of Scripture. What you think it means absolutely nothing. It's meaningless babble. Unless you've been initiated into the mystery. And how are you initiated? By your death. All right. Let's go to 2 Peter 2.
What's interesting is that the whole rest of this is about love.
Love
can only come from that place.
Amen.
And that is actually the end result of this spirit that we're talking about.
Amen.
A real spirit.
2 Peter 2. Just go to the left a couple pages. Verse 9. Well, actually, we're out of time. Yeah, we want to spend some time in 2 Peter. All right. Anybody have any response to all this? Wisdom. What constitutes wisdom?
I'm just feeling that in rest, wisdom is about you. Exerting yourself, there might be some wisdom, but it'll be the wisdom of the world and not of God. You won't be able to see it.
But you know it's not it because they're speaking of the world.
Yeah. So, what's the difference? Unless you're an angel of light.
We're going to see in a minute that it says, be as wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. There's a lot in the Bible about wisdom. We're going to take a look at a lot of it. Mr. Rutledge, any expansions or anything?
No.
What's going on, Mr. Chisholm?
We'll be through.
Mr. Bojo?
I'm waiting to see the relationship between wisdom and integrity. I think that integrity is a large component of wisdom.
Integrity is, without it, we'll never see wisdom. Because you're still, even if you're studying the scriptures, you're adding water to the wine.
You can't do that if you're not acting with integrity.
That's right. That's why integrity is the entrance way. But there's no integrity until you've seen the end of yourself. Otherwise, you're just again trying to manipulate.
Yeah, you can't practice integrity.
Integrity, the word, is from the same word you get integer. It means one. So that you're the same outward as you are inward.
You're integrated.
There's no duality. There's no two. You're no more double-minded. You don't go from... Again, you've heard me say many times, unless everything is spiritual, nothing is. Amen.
Amen.
Take it, big guy.